This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
I'm going to talk about something that I've probably said here 10 different ways, but Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15. Yeah. So everybody's got troubles, right? If you have a life that has no trouble, I want to talk to you afterwards so you can tell me how you managed to do that. Every life has troubles. Your life has trouble, my life has trouble. Everyone's got troubles of various kinds. When you were 8-year-old, you had the troubles of an 8-year-old. When you were 15 years old, you had the troubles of a 15-year-old. When you were 20, you had the troubles of a 20-year-old. If you're in your 30s, now you've got the troubles of a 30-year-old. When you were single, you had the troubles of a single person. Or if you're single, now you have the troubles of a single person. If you're married, you've got the troubles of a married person. And, that's the way life goes. And, you know, I think one thing that we often do, an impression that often comes, I don't know for you, but at least for me, I get the impression that sometimes we talk so much about spiritual things, and I think this applies to the spiritual as well. But today, really, I don't necessarily want to talk of it in those terms. I think that what we tend to ignore is just that there are troubles in life. Troubles that just have to do with the fact that we live in this world. And this world, for whatever reason, you can get into the philosophy of why it is the way it is and why all these bad things, but it is what it is. And there are troubles. And Jesus even said, in this world you will have troubles. It doesn't matter how much you confess and proclaim that you're not going to have troubles. There are various challenges. There are needs. There are things that only God can resolve in our lives. And we often tend to sweep those under the rug, and we just talk about the more spiritual things. But I think it is unspiritual to not be practical. There is something that we ought to have, an approach to life that has to be really down to earth. And what we ought to realize is that we do have troubles. I mean, just regular life trouble. You have trouble at work. You have trouble getting along with someone. You have emotional trouble. You deal with heartache, with relationship falling apart. You're married and you have problems. You know, and the Bible says in those situations, we ought to call on the name of the Lord. He will answer us and He'll deliver us. And for those life troubles, and see, I was listening to a talk this week, and someone was sharing how, they interviewed Ruth Bell Graham, that was Billy Graham's wife, in the late 1970s or early 1980s when his ministry was at its peak. And they ask her, wow, with your husband being such a man of God and he travels around the world and having all these crusades and being the kind of man he is, you must never have thought of divorce, right? She said, like, divorce, never, but murder a few times. And what she was trying to say is that what the folks who were interviewing her were trying to say was that, you must have no troubles. They've had a lot of troubles in their family, a lot. If you've read about the family, the children, children, you know, the devil comes after everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. People think Brother Zach had no life troubles. He did. I know some of them that you don't know. He had trouble. The devil goes after the family of everybody. If you want to serve God at some point, now God gave victory in all those, but the attacks came, and they've spoken about this in publicly. One of their children suddenly started thinking that they were adopted, that they were not really their child, which is funny because of all the child, they're probably the one who looks most like one of the two parents. And like, I heard it, I was like, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror? How could you possibly even think that? But that's the devil comes. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know. Those of you who have children, you imagine your child one day just say, starts to think, oh, maybe I was just adopted. There's trouble in life. That's called life trouble. And it comes to everybody, those sorts of things. Doesn't matter who you are. But what I want to say today is that there is a solution to that in the Bible. And the Word of God says here, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. God invites us. He's the one who says, you have troubles, you have problems, you have issues. There are things you're struggling with. There are things that are not working out. Turn to me, come to me, call on me, I will answer you. Now listen to me. He doesn't say, maybe I will deliver you when you call. He doesn't say, perhaps. He says, most likely I'm going to. He says, I will. Now, either you believe that or you don't. And if he believes, and if you believe that, then you ought to call on God. If you don't believe that, then you ought to take this verse and cut it out of the Bible. Because if he doesn't do this, then the Bible is a lie, right? God promises here that in the day of trouble, you call on him, he is definitely going to answer you. So I don't know what your trouble is. You're having trouble finding a job. You're having trouble dealing with laziness, procrastination, and whatever. Call on God. Tell him, this is my struggle. This is a thing that's difficult for me. This is my mountain. And God promises that he will answer you, he will deliver you. Now, there are two things that this is sandwiched between two truths that maybe we don't often talk about or do as often. The first thing that before he says this, he said, sacrifice thank offerings to God and fulfill your vow. He's saying that if I were hungry, I will not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? That is, in the Old Testament, they will bring sacrifices. They will bring animals and things and offer those sacrifices to God. And why were they offering those sacrifices? Is it because God was hungry and needed that food? Absolutely, of course not. Those things were for their sins. It was for them to be able to have and to take part into the worship of God and partake in the covenant that God wanted them to have. But what the Lord was saying, though, is that the sacrifice that he really cares about, that he wants, is thanksgiving. He wants you to come to him and thank him. The thing that God's saying is that we ought to come to him and give him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And that is something, the reason why, because if you just come to God and you say, God, here are my trouble, here are my trouble, here are my trouble, here are my troubles, and you never thank him, it's not good. The Bible said, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, who knows the voice of the verse said? In Philippians, there's a passage that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, what? Yes, but there's another part just before that. You guys, with thanksgiving, yes. Very, very good. Yeah, can you say it again? That's right. Exactly right. Very good. And do not be anxious about anything. Bring your request to God, but do so with thanksgiving. Because, and the reason for that is this. If you come to God and you just complain, God, I have this problem, I have this problem, I have this issue, I have this issue. And you don't thank Him, it's dishonest, you know. It's like going, what kind of a report is that comes out of your mouth? Is it that there's nothing that God has done for you, there's only trouble? I mean, whose life, just like I said, there's trouble in every life. It's also true, there's something that God has done in every life. If you got up in the morning and you were able to breathe and walk around, that's a gift from God. You know how many people don't? You know how many people? You know how many people are breathing off some oxygen tank and things like that? You ever have to do that? You get up in the morning and you have to go in a room and grab a can of oxygen and breathe from it for a couple of hours before you can get on your day. If you just being able to get up, walk around. If you need a reason to praise God, there you go. That's one of them. But some folks are so focused on just their troubles, and they cannot pray effectively because they come to a God that they don't really believe is a good God. They come to a God that they don't think they have anything to thank Him for. And that must be that such person, people have no faith. No wonder a lot of the prayers don't get answered. Because one of the things that the Bible says to remember the great things, to remember why? Because it builds our faith. You'll be able to go before God and say, God, you did this and this and this to me. And every time I do that, I am so blessed. When I remember the time when I'm like, God, in this particular instance, it could not have been chance or coincidence. This was you. I know you were watching for me during that time. You stepped in and you answered me. And I didn't even deserve you to step in at that time. It's not like I had amazing faith or that I was walking all righteously before God. And you came through for me. And every time I think that, I remember it's a reminder to me there is a God in heaven who watches over me, who knows me. And that's an amazing thought, that there's a God up there who's looking out for me. And therefore, if I call upon Him again today, He will answer me. Make it a habit to go before God and go with thanksgiving. Go with your troubles. Present. Call on Him on the day of your trouble. But, you know, remember that that's an end. There's an end there. Sacrifice thanks offering to God and call upon me on the day of your trouble. Give thanks to God when He does things. See, by the grace of God, I've been in a position where I have helped, I help a lot of people in some small ways. And I can tell you that I have noticed that there's a great difference in the attitudes that people have. Huge, huge differences. There are some folks who receive help and they don't even seem to be aware of it. Sometimes, I mean, I still do help them, but out of, you know, because it's the right thing to do. But there are some folks who are a lot more, I've seen a range of gratefulness among a number of people. And I can tell you, here's what I've noticed. There is something different about those who are more grateful. I can see that there is a favor and something that God brings into their lives that the other folks don't have. They may be less righteous. You look at they're all in different situations, in different background, different places in life and things like that. But you look at one and I see one person whom you may look at their lives and be like, wow, this person is really in a terrible place in life. But they have a more grateful heart. And you can see that there is, with all their struggles and everything, you can see that there's still something about their lives that goes different. Even in their struggle, usually they seem happier. It is one of the things. Carl is one of them. If you've had problems with Carl, you hate him, don't Don't bring it out now. But I know one thing. With all his struggles and everything, Carl is one of the most grateful people that I have ever met. It is true. I cannot tell you the number of times that randomly comes up to me and tells me I was out there. You took me into your home. I'll never forget. I've even forgotten that. I mean, I'll see him and I won't even think about that. But he will bring it up and just remind. There's something of gratefulness. It's just an attitude that he has that's very grateful. And you can see, you can look into his life and see how wherever he is, God seems to open doors for people to help him out and do all kinds of things with him. Sam and I, Sam has seen that too. And I think it stems from the fact that he's so grateful. And his mother seems to be like that too. She hasn't seen Carl. She doesn't know. She's over there in Canada, 86 years old. She sometimes calls me. She has called me multiple times just to say thank you. She sent us a card and things like that. Those are, she's not a believer, but you can see that there's something of gratefulness there. I want to tell you, it does matter. Now, there are some other folks who maybe have received more help than Carl does, and they act as if, I was looking for it or anything like that, but I haven't seen that kind of tenacious gratitude or just overflowing for gratitude. I haven't seen something like that. And those folks tend to be more frustrated and irritated and angry at the world, angry at God, angry at all kinds of things. And, I'll tell you another thing. This, I'm speaking to you here from my heart. Listen. I know lots of people who have come to this country from abroad. All they do is bash America. And then there are some who are from here, who were born here. All they do is bash America. I've even heard some African folks criticize American roads. And I was like, have you seen the roads in the continent you come from? Have you driven on African roads? Where were you? But there's this, I don't know where that comes, I don't know where that comes from, but they just criticize, say bad things, negative things about, that's a very unsophisticated, I should use a more proper word for that, but all they do is criticize. They criticize the government and the system and everything. And I sit in the same country and I'm like, God, I'm so grateful. When I went to Poland, I was talking with Brother Alexis, who's telling me the same thing about folks in Poland. And let me tell you, I've been extremely grateful. This is it's a place where God has blessed me in many, many ways. I went here, and even at MIT, there's people who went there with me. All they do is just say all kinds of negative things about the school. And I tell them it's one of the greatest blessings I have ever received in life. Going to that school there, them admitting me, the year I applied was 15,000 people applied for 1,000 spots. And I don't know, for some of you, the rest of you who went there, maybe you were like, of course they should have picked me. I don't have that attitude. The other 14 people who were denied the seat that I got, probably at least, I don't know, maybe 10 of them are as smart as I am. And it was just, they did. And when I got there, I went there and they gave me such huge financial help. I graduated with no loans and everything. I'm grateful to them for that. And you never hear me go there and start. Now, is it a perfect place? Of course not. Are there, which one is? What's the school that's perfect? what's the country that's perfect? You know, and I can tell you, God blessed me there. There was favor on every side. And what I'm trying to say is that be grateful. It developed this attitude. In the day of your trouble, it will come in and you'll be able to go before God. And you'll be able to go before God and see that you actually have the faith to have Him answer you. You know, have you been grateful for the church that you're part of? Where you come and you hear the word of God and, you know, is it a perfect church? No, but let me tell you this. If you come here and you hear the word of God that you hear here every week, you actually put it into practice, your life will change. Absolutely, that's true. I know that. And there isn't anybody here trying to extort you, trying to make money off of you and things like that. You receive more than you give in this church. That is true of everyone here. And several things that have come into your life, or those who have been here for a long time, came in because you've been here. And I hope there is a gratitude in your heart. I hope so. I hope your heart is, I hope you go to God and you thank God for those things. I do. I thank God for some of you by name. You may think I'm always annoyed with you. I actually do thank God for you. I do. I really do. Don't take it for granted. I don't take it for granted at all. God is good, and I thank Him for all kinds of things. The Israelites in the desert, you read them in Numbers, in Exodus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy. They were always like, can you imagine people who were taken out of slavery saying, let's appoint somebody and go back? I mean, even if the desert was bad, but if someone is dropping food for you every day, including on the day when you're complaining, is dropping manna from heaven for you every single day, year in and year out, and you're surviving in the desert with the scorpions and all kinds of things that could kill you there, how can you not be grateful? How can you not be grateful? How do you complain and say, we used to eat cucumbers and stuff like that back in Egypt. Let us appoint somebody and go back. I was reading that this week. Let's appoint someone and let's go back. And God came this close to wiping them out. The Bible says that the Lord was angry enough with you to destroy you. But I pray, that's what Moses said, the Lord was angry enough with you to destroy you, but I pray, and He listened to me. And He said He was angry with Aaron too, enough to destroy him, but I prayed for Aaron too in those days. How can they, could they not, and at some point they say we are, what's the word they use? We're disgusted with this manna, or something like that, is what it was they say there. How could they be, you know, which people on earth were taken care of like the Israelites were in the desert by their God? And they were saying, well, no, let's go back. I've seen this with all number of people, but all different kind of settings. Those who always see the negative, always complain, always see issues. When I was working one time at a different place, not the company I work for now, but in a different place, I was there. I got there, and soon people were there telling me this place is bad. Here is the thing that I was there, and I never saw a problem. A lot of things have to do with your attitude and the way that you see things. I want to tell you, be grateful. Someone does something for you, thank them. Someone helps you, thank them. Stop. Think about it, acknowledge it, go to them, say, listen, thank you for this. Do whatever, give them a card, leave them a note, do whatever you want to do. And begin it with God. Bring me the sacrifices of thanksgiving, of a thank offering, the Bible says, and call upon me on the day of your trouble. I will listen to you. And the other thing that, this is the second part of this is this. I will deliver you and you will honor me. The other thing that we don't do is that when God moves on our behalf, we take the glory for ourselves. He said that when I answer you, you honor me. when God does great things for us, what we ought to do is to let people know that this was not me. This is not because I'm awesome. The glory is the Lord. I was in trouble. He delivered me. And he's the one that I'm going to honor from this. I won't take it for myself. I won't be going around parading. But this is going to be to say that this is what God has done. And it is him that I honor. He said that my glory I will share with no one. There are a lot of things God will share with us. His glory is not one of them. And he has said that he will not share his glory with anybody. And that is something that has always been for God, will always be for God. It will never change. When he's moved in our lives and he's answered us, let's not just be grateful, but let's give him glory for what he does for us. And to me, I want to tell you that those two things that I just mentioned, are very important. I can, you may think that it's a little thing where I'm not saying thank you, but let me tell you, I've seen this in practice. It makes a huge difference in the way people's lives on earth goes. The kind of attitude they have, because the truth is that the attitude you have towards men, towards people, that's the attitude you have towards God. That is true. The attitude you have towards your parents, your people close to you, your and whoever, that's the attitude you have towards the Lord. And I wanna tell you that the Lord is speaking, I know, to some of you here, and let that change. I hope you've ever gone to your parents and told them things. I hope you have. I hope you have been grateful for what God has done. Anyhow, I'm going to show that to you from the New Testament, James chapter 5. Verse 13. James chapter 5, verses from verse 13. From verse 13, you can read all the way down to verse 18. Amen. Is any one of you in trouble? What should they do? He should pray. So this is not just Old Testament. James here is agreeing that you can be a Christian and you can have troubles. And the solution that God gives for that trouble is that we would pray. What is the trouble that you're in? What's been the problem in your life? The Bible says pray. Pray. Turn to God. And now, and then he says, anyone happy? Let him do what? Sing songs of praise. When God has done good things for you, did you sing songs of praise? Did you bring him that sacrifice of thanksgiving? Now, when trouble comes, you pray. But for the things that God did in the past for you, did you sing songs of praise to him? You see, there's always these two things that are about. You bring sacrifice of thanksgiving, you pray in the day of your trouble. You pray in the day of your trouble, you give sacrifices of praise when things have gone well. It is both have to be there in your life. And is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to do what? To do what? To pray over him. Even for sickness, the Bible said, turn to God, he will heal you. Now, I know this has been abused, and people have done all kinds of fake things with this, but it's in the Bible. The Bible commands us what to do when we're sick. Call the elders, let them pray for you. I know, yes. Okay. Yeah, you should pray. For me, when I feel the slightest pain or whatever wrong in my body, I pray. Right away, I ask God to heal me from it, whatever it is, and He does. And now, this is not to say don't go to the doctors, or that's not what I'm trying to say here. But I'm saying that for all troubles, even for the body, the Bible says first instinct, you should pray. The first instinct is you should turn to God. The first instinct is call other people. Now it says here, I want to show this to you. It says you're in trouble, you should pray. So there's individual praying there for yourself. And then there is call the elders to pray for you. There's going to the leaders or whatever in your community, ask, hey, pray for me about over this. And it, and the Bible says here, verse 15, then the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will. Not maybe, He might, He will. Okay. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now there's pray for yourself. There's ask the elders to pray. And then the third one here, pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is all Christians praying for each other. So there's pray for yourself. There's go ask your leaders to pray for you. And then there is all of us pray for each other. All these things put together is the solution to trouble in the church. It is the solution. Now, the funny thing is you say, well, I've gotten myself, my troubles is the result of my sins, the result of my mistake. Well, that's spoken of right here. If he has sinned, and the prayer of faith will make the person well, the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So even when the troubles that we get into are the troubles that are the result of our sins, and many of our troubles are the result of us being stupid and doing things that God told us not to do, even then, the Bible says we should take that trouble to God and pray. He will forgive us. He will raise us up. That's a promise that's in the Word of God. Amen? It is a promise that's in the Word of God. If the person has sinned, if the trouble was the result of sin, God will raise the person up. He will forgive them. You've done something wrong. You got the consequences. You want to be forgiven. God will forgive you. You want to get out of the trouble that a sin caused. God will also answer you even for that. This is not for the righteous who have walked and done nothing wrong. It is not just for them. It is for all of us. And the Bible says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, I want to ask you, when is the last time you prayed for a Christian that they be healed? That they be healed of emotional trouble, that they be healed of the physical trouble, that they be healed of the marriage or whatever troubles they have. We ought to do that more and more often. Have a time of prayer, and I encourage you that in your time of prayer, to bring your own trouble to God, but also remember, pray for the troubles of others to be healed. This is another thing that often does not happen. We get so caught up with our own problems that we forget that there are other people around us who also have problems. Do you realize that there's some people whose situation is worse than yours? Every now and then I try to remember that. I'm like, this person here is in the same boat that I am. Let me pray for them. This person here is struggling more than I am. Let me pray for them. I would remember someone who has been struggling with the sickness for a long time, and I will pray, God, heal them, remember them, have mercy on them, do something on their behalf. And I want to tell you another thing. What happens when you do that? Not only do you get faith for yourself and your own trouble, but let me tell you, just like I was saying about Thanksgiving and being grateful, there's something in the lives of those who make time for others, who consider the troubles of others. There's something that God pours into their lives. You know, it's like when you close a room and no one gets in there or something like that, and you shut out the window and you come back later, probably doesn't smell very well. There's something about opening. Oh no, that's maybe a bad analogy. So it's the only thing I can do. There's something about opening up before others, just for air to clear in, that makes something more pleasant. When your life is all closed up on yourself, the only trouble you think about is your own trouble. Your life will start to stink. It is true. Your life will start to stink. And there's a lot of people struggle with depression. Maybe some of you here do. Let me tell you one thing. Please listen to me. If this is you, you struggle with this. Let me say this to you. The spirit behind depression, the attitude of depression, is intrinsically a self-centered one. You cannot be depressed without having a good amount of self-centeredness going on. It's because at some point you have focused so much on yourself and on your plight and on your problem and on whatever else, and you do not spend much time seeing and looking at the troubles of other people. I want to ask you, so you're depressed, you're struggling. I mean, just ask you, when is the last time you really went and tried to pray for someone else? A cry came from your heart for somebody else. They don't know about it. You're not trying to impress anybody with your prayer. Just in your, you were in your room, you were walking around, driving around or wherever. You thought of someone, a cry came from your heart. God help them, do something on their behalf. Has that happened to you? Do you do that? Then if the answer to that is no, then I would say start there. Maybe that's what you've been, I don't know, maybe that's what you've been needing. Maybe that's what you've been needing to do. In order to have a breakthrough, cry out for someone else. You know, Sister Susan told me one thing one time. She said she was praying for her son or something like that, and she had asked Brother Zach for advice. Brother Zach told her one thing I want you to do is when you pray for your son, take the names of other children, put them there, and pray to give along for those other people. And there's something about that that makes your prayer more true and more genuine. I encourage you to do that. You have a problem, maybe find, hey, listen, you're single, you're praying for God to bring you someone, do this. I'm just saying make a rule of this, or I'm just saying, think of 2-3 people who are in the same situation. Pray for them. Say, God, remember this one. Bring them someone for them at the right time who will be good for them. Do that. Have you done that? I do sometimes. Not as much as I should, but I do. I have. Think of others who have been maybe waiting longer than you have. And whose odds are even harder than your own odds, and pray for them. It does something to you. It really does. There is another aspect of this that I wanted to talk about, but we're not out of time. I'm going to talk about it next week. But you know what we learn from here is this. Let's be grateful to God for what He has done for us. But today, in the day of our troubles, let's bring our troubles to God. Don't say, well, this is something, I'm not going to go bother God about this one. God Himself said, come to me with your trouble. Come to call on me on the day of your trouble. He invites us to turn to Him in the day of our trouble. He'll answer us. When He answers us, let's give Him praise and glory. Let's sing the song of praise that He says here. When we have trouble, call other people. Tell them, pray for me. Go to the folks in your church. Tell them, hey, here's my problem. Please pray for me. And you pray, and let's pray for each other. Pray for other people. People in the same situation that you have. Cry out to God for them. Remember that I'm not saying let this become a burden or anything like that. But I'm asking for an attitude of heart that allows us to pray more effectively for ourselves, for other people. And so we can experience this thing. When I was in Newfoundland, how do you say it? What's the right way to pronounce it? Newfoundland? Newfoundland, okay. So when I was in Newfoundland last weekend, there was a lady there. She is married. She has a husband. She and her husband have three children, I forgot. The children were also there. And that husband ran away from home. And he not just ran away from home, he ran away with another woman. And now, anybody will tell you the statistics are when a man leaves and he leaves with another woman, especially after you've had children, you've been together for a long time. And the children are not old. I think they're maybe 8 to 10, something like that. And they leave. When a man leaves like that, the odds are they never come back. Yeah, I think that's just a statistic. And but this lady began to pray. She went to Brother John T. This is before the church there even began. She said, "Can I come to your house and spend a couple of days to fast and to pray?" And his wife said, "Of course." She went in there. She spent the time praying and fasting. And for the past several months, she began to pray, to call on God. And that was not just for her, but also she said in her family, just a lot of dysfunctional things, just people's lives turning around, going nowhere. And people looked at her family as, good for nothing kind of people, I guess, from what she was explaining. But she prayed, she began to call on God. And she said now, sometime when she starts to pray, she starts at 10 p.m., she does not end till 6 in the morning. She said she really cried out to God, and God has done some miraculous thing. 1 year ago, when they had the first official meeting of the church, you know who showed up? That man, her husband. He gave his life to Christ that day. And after some time, he came back home. And they were at a prayer meeting and they were asking if anybody had a prayer request. And they said that the little girl said, "Yes, I do have one. I want daddy to come home." And the folks at the prayer meeting prayed. You see, you have trouble, you pray. You have trouble, you call on other people to pray for you. And they prayed and the man came back. This weekend, yesterday, they had a rededication of their marriage and they did the whole nine. They were planning to do the whole 9 year. The lady said that the wedding I never had, I'm going to have it this time. And you could tell that God has really done something for her when she was testifying. This is what I've been trying to say to a lot of us here. There's a God in heaven and he answers prayers. It doesn't matter what the trouble, even if it's your husband that's run away from home. You go ahead and pray. The Bible doesn't say he might. He says he definitely will answer you. He may take some time, but he definitely will answer you if you don't give up. So my message today, I want to tell you, whatever the trouble is, whatever it is in your life, go to God, pray, don't give up. He will answer you. It doesn't matter. Even if you don't feel faith, go there and pray. Call on him. He'll answer you. And I don't know about you. I couldn't. preachers sometimes tend to be overrated. For me, when I look at a lady like that, I'm more impressed by that than by somebody who stands in the pulpit or does some miracle or gives some good sermon. This is someone who called on the God of heaven and she answered her. She said, bring my husband back here and get the other woman off his life. And God answered her. And the guy not just came back, he gave his life to Christ. And, you know, and they're going to have a home. She said, even at her work, people come and tell her, you've changed, you've become so beautiful and things like that. It's that's what God does. It is the result of calling on God, and He answers you beyond what you were even expecting. It encouraged my faith a lot. I was very glad to hear that about the someone who went, a daughter of God who went to her father, cried out and cried out and cried out, and the father heard her and did a miracle for her. May you win. May you and I win the battles that are in our lives. May you vow that there are some people that the devil in your life that the devil will never take. There are some people that I pray for and I ask God, God, I don't care what you do with this person. But what I want is I don't want the devil to win them in the end. I want everything that you intended for them to come to pass. And one of those people I said that I heard from after a while is one of them. I said, God, I don't know what you do with this person. That just the devil's not getting them so long as I can pray and I'm here on there. I don't care if I don't hear from them for a year. I'm going to pray. And whenever I remember them, I said to God, you have plans for this person. You did not intend for them to become a toy of the enemy and the enemy to do whatever he wants with them, cheat them out of everything. God, that's not, God had different plans. I said, let your plans for them come to pass. And I don't even care what church they go to. I just said, God, I don't want the devil to get them. And God answered. There's no way He will not answer something like that. There ought to be something like that in things like that in your life. Whatever battle it is, whatever need is it is, pray and the Lord will answer us. Amen. Let's pray. I want you, all of us, to just pray and ask God. Since I don't know what the battle is for you, I know I'm very, I don't want you to say things that other people will hear that you don't want them to, but let's pray and just ask God that for all of us who will experience this, that the Lord will, that we will call on God and that He will answer us. And when we talk about this, when 6 months from now, when we're back here around March or April next year, let us look back and say, what a change, what an amazing way God has answered us, and what great things He's done for us. I want to be able to say that, and you should too. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that for all of us would turn to You, all of us. Father, we pray, oh God, that for all our troubles, we will call on You. For all of our troubles, oh God, we'll come to You. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, give us faith. Lord, let us be able, Lord, to say that You answered us. Lord, that You answered us beyond anything we had imagined or thought or expected, God. Our Father, we pray that You will do it, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.